Hey everybody, welcome to Your Battle to Win. This week, our topic is going to be must be intentional. Instead of just diving into the topic, I'm going to give like a little backstory to how we ended up with this subject. So I was talking with my mom about how, I'm starting a new business with my friend Jacob, and as we both are becoming, you know, business partners and business owners, we're understanding how much this stuff actually isn't just coincidental. Everything is carefully thought through. Everything is, you know, done to the maximum that they can do with their resources as businesses, at all level of businesses. And understanding how a lot of what we see in this world does not happen on accident. As much as we want things to be like, oh yeah, coincidentally, this company came out of nowhere, and now, you know, they're having all this business and there's all this hype and everything. It's all, what's the word?
Intentional.
It's intentional. So where does this line up with who we are as believers? Where does it line up with how our worldview meshes with that? And what does it mean for us? So
when we talk about who's being intentional, you know, that's important because, like, we might think that, or when I think about it, I shouldn't say speak for anybody else. When I think about the church, I think that we have certain things that are very intentional.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think we've been in the intentionality of the opposition to the church, there's been intention to make it so that our intention is getting smaller and smaller, right? I mean, some of that's obvious, but I think it's a lot bigger than most people realize.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if church or not church, it doesn't really matter. It's just like when there was the Revolutionary War, they only had 3%, right, that had the intention to say, you know, things that aren't being done right, and we have to make a decision,
mm-hmm,
whether or not to stop it, and who do we oppose? You know, who are the people that are creating the problem, and then how do we stop them? And then all the other people, some people were aware, didn't take action, some people were just unaware, some people didn't think it was possible, some people didn't feel like they should get involved. So people act with intention in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about intention, that we must have intention, when we're talking about there's a battle to win, we must have intention to win the battle.
Obviously.
Right? So this is our program. So there's somebody else. If there's opposition to doing things God's way, then there must be an intentional opposition, is what I'm hearing you wanting to highlight today.
Yes.
The intentional opposition to God's intention.
Yeah.
And then how many of us believers actually understand God's intention?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he says, my kingdom come and my will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what's he saying his intention is? I think we haven't looked at scripture from what his intention is to clear enough. Because people think his intention is to, we just live on earth until he comes back.
Yeah. And try to reach as many lost souls as possible. I would call it a drive-by salvation.
Again, but not disciples.
Anyways, before we get to that portion, I wanted to talk about what kind of started the conversation today. So, I was with some friends, and this was a really big thing in junior high, so this is all, like, coming back. For some reason, I was thinking about it today. But, like, there's this video game called Guitar Hero, and there's also a variation of the game called Rock Band. And, you know, growing up, I was like, okay, why do people know all these songs of this video game? Like, why are they all so popular? And, you know, why do people enjoy playing this, blah, 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 because I'd never heard these songs before. And then today, I was thinking about it again, and I'm like, wait a second. So in order for anybody to use a band or an artist's music, they have to get a copyright permission, or that there's a better phrase for that. But that's basically what you're doing, is you're getting permission to use that artist's music for your content. And you not only when you sell your product, you know, you have to put their name and all their credits on it, but they have to get a percentage of the profit. That band has to get a percentage of the profit. So I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, so that means that when they're making this video game, they have to negotiate with the label, because most of the time these bands are signed to a label. And guess what? Not only is the label going to want to cut out of that band's music, but they're going to be like, yo, we got all these other bands. So if you want this band on your video game, you're going to have to put songs from these other bands. And now what's happening is all these songs they want to become hits, and they want people to listen to and enjoy and play over and over, they become part of the video game. And so now, like, it's not like these songs are hits, so that's why they're put in the game. It's no, it's a, we want these songs to be perceived as hits and as classics in the rock culture, so they get put in this video game because this video game's about, you know, being able to virtually play your favorite rock, your quote-unquote favorite rock songs, and that's how it's advertised. You know, you may only like one song on the entire game, but because of the way the game's designed, you're eventually going to play the other games. It's another form of target marketing, which is, you know, really important in business. But like, as I was looking at this, as I was thinking, processing it, I'm like, wow, like, not even the things as innocent as video games are without intent. And usually the games that you, or any product for that matter, the ones that have the most intent behind them are the ones that become the most successful, because the people that actually put everything together, they had like a specific goal, and because they wanted to achieve the goal, they were very detail oriented. They still covered all the bases that they possibly could to make sure that even the smallest thing that generally people would not notice still covers what they were trying to do, and
so,
it points everything in the direction that they were trying to go.
Right. So this happens in everything. It doesn't just happen in music, right?
Yes.
And so you probably kind of knew it before, but it just, like, the pieces just flew in your face, and you're like, okay, you know, this is intentional. Whereas before, it's like, oh, you know, yeah, somebody's doing this stuff, but...
And then it's easy to point a finger at them and blame businesses and corporations for all the problems, but if you see a problem and you're not going to do something about it, then kind of, like, the way I see it is, it's motivation for me to be like, okay, if that's, you know, if that's the way that people are, like...
Well, tell me what's wrong with it before you go
well,
on.
Well, no, okay, so the only problem that I have with it is what their agenda, the company's agenda is, and what the label's agenda and the purpose of...
So motive is important.
Motive is important.
Okay.
I don't think that I don't think the idea is wrong. So for example, there's games like, so there's Dance Dance Revolution, that's a secular dance video game, and then the Christian market came out with Dance Praise, which was a Christian variation where it's all Christian music and stuff, so it was pretty much operated the same. They still had to get the rights for all the music and stuff, but I think that with part of the reason why a lot of projects fail in the Christian world is we see that in the world, okay, they do it and everything just works and takes off and becomes successful. So if we do it, that's going to happen, when they don't realize, hey, there has to be, not only does your motive have to be right, but your intention and how hard you press to make sure that it gets, you know, it reaches everybody that you're trying to reach to, it gets to them. Like, that's really important. Like, because here's the thing too. I guess now I didn't think of it this way. When we played the Dance Praise games, 99% of the songs I didn't know, but I ended up knowing and enjoying half of them because of the way that it was all packaged together.
Right.
It was, and as a business move, it was very smart. And as a, I guess from their perspective, expanding the kingdom of God and helping more people understand, get to know more Christian bands, like, it was a very smart decision. But they didn't, when it came to the marketing of it and getting it to in front of people's faces and advertising it, that wasn't as intentional as it should be, because they didn't have that mindset.
Okay, so it highlights scripture when it says, you know, you should be innocent as doves and shrewd as serpents, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? I mean, we're supposed to be innocent and shrewd as doves and as serpents. I mean, and serpents, you know, so there's some, you know, obviously there's some, we We've got a kingdom of heaven. We've got a kingdom of this world. We have a kingdom of light, and we have a kingdom of darkness. So when we look at intention, if our intention's not clear, we can kind of move in and out of either of these kingdoms, right? We can kind of either do what's of light or we can do of darkness, and we can maybe even get fooled and think we're doing light and we're in darkness and kind of drift around, right? But
yeah.
When you start talking about intention, and somebody has intention for something, and we're not sure if it's good or bad, right? It might be good and bad, right? Motive has everything to do with it. So when we're looking at we must have intention to win our battles, you know, we really have to get clear that this life is much more, requires much more from us if we're going to accomplish whatever our purpose is for mm-hmm. being here.
Yeah.
So the purpose of winning battles is to accomplish our purpose. Everything that comes against us, as we can feel, right, is to stop us from God's purpose in us.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were saying earlier that, you know, our intention is to save souls, but Scripture has always made it clear that the Father is the one who draws men to himself, that, you know, that it's not necessarily our role. It says in John also, in the first chapter, it's God who does all the saving. He's the one who does all the drawing.
Yeah.
So how did we get misled that way? What intention was behind that to cause us to focus on something that isn't necessarily a scriptural focus? So the focus is, they asked him, Pilate asked, so you're a king then? And he says, it is as you say, and it's for this purpose I came, that I may testify to the truth, right? And those who know the truth know me. I mean, basically, I can't remember verbatim, but so then, you know, Pilate asks, well, what's truth, right? So the thing is he was saying, yeah, it is as, and he said, my kingdom is not of this world, right? My kingdom, if it was, my disciples would be fighting like the world fights, right? And mm-hmm. he said, but my, later on, right, the weapons of warfare are not of this world. They're not carnal, but they're mighty before God for the tearing down of strongholds, right? And we keep mm-hmm. going through that scripture. And that he says, the kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So the kingdom of light is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And he said, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all nations. Somehow we miss that. We don't talk about this gospel of the kingdom is to be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. And mm-hmm. he also says that, you know, the little leaven leavens the whole bread, the whole
loaf.
And so therefore, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like the leaven that leavens the whole loaf. And I never understood that. I mean, a bunch of these scriptures. Even though he said, seek first his kingdom, right? So I would be going, what is your kingdom? I'm supposed to seek first your kingdom. And it's righteousness, you know, for years and years, and to the place where, you know, you start going, I can't figure this out, so you let it go, right?
Mm-hmm.
But part of the reason I think we walk in the darkness or the blindness or the deafness and we don't understand is because we don't ask, so we don't know, right?
Yep.
We ask for the wrong motives.
And here's the thing, too, that even comes with, when it comes to talking to people, I feel like, because when I mean people, I mean like brothers and sisters in Christ, like there's not enough asking. Intentionally. Like the asking is still surface level, I think.
Right, the motive's not quite there to say that everything in word or deed we're going to do for his glory and that we're going to really seek first his kingdom and his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And his righteousness. Are we seeking his righteousness? And what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think people, I don't know how we can be, have become so, I mean, I'm not going to talk for everyone, I'll say for myself. I don't know how I could have become so shallow and so blind and so unaware of what his kingdom really is or was, you know, and to be so confused when I'm reading these scriptures all the time and I'm asking him, you know, what does this mean? And we can't know anything unless he reveals it to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and he doesn't necessarily just go reveal.
Yeah.
He makes us work for it. I mean, he makes us want, I mean, it's not just in that. He has us keep seeking until we kind of fill in this thing. And then he goes, kaboom. Okay, now you've sought out this enough that you can see you know, I'm going to be in a... And so, the like, when the disciples asked Jesus, what, you know, why are you talking in parables? And he says, this is my intention. Right? He says, this is intentional.
No, and that's why we spent so much time studying him, too, because we understand that they were everything he said in them was with intention.
Right, and he said, so to some is given the understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, too. Like, with in hip-hop right now, there's certain artists that get listened to a certain way because they're intentional about the words that they speak in their music. Same thing with other singers and even public speakers. Some may not have the greatest thing. They don't talk about things the best, but because they have that, their motive with how they speak is so powerful that people are like, wow, like that person's really passionate about what they're saying. You know, it must be, if in order for someone to speak with that much conviction, that must be true type of a thing, you know. But I also feel like people can overdo it, and I feel when it gets overdone, it's a compensation mechanism.
Well, yeah, right, and then they could be hiding something they don't really know, not even on purpose. Mm-hmm. But I think the key is we have to be so humble. So that, I mean, there's the clue why I was clueless, right? We have to be so humble that we can hear the God of perfection, the perfect God. We have to be so humble, and we have to be so willing to ask and to seek and to knock with the right motives, with the right intention, right? Mm-hmm. And then he opens our eyes. Then he reveals to us. And, you know, he wants us to come like a little child. And little children aren't necessarily always humble, right? They're not necessarily always humble, but...
That's why it's faith like a child. Not bumping music like a child. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but...
Outside, they must be having a little party next door. So...
Intention.
So that was really good, the idea, the faith, that's why it's faith like a child and not necessarily the humility, yep. But the faith does require an element of humility.
No, it does. But he doesn't say that it has to be childlike.
Right.
Because it takes a certain maturity to keep your faith childlike. Like.
And humility.
That's what I said.
Oh, maturity. No.
I meant both. I'm a little on the tired side. It's been a long week.
Hue maturity.
There we go. Something like that. We got a new word. Hue maturity.
So.
It's a new word. Hue maturity. Oh boy.
So now we have some inside jokes. But anyways,
sorry about that.
Some impromptus. So the intentionality becomes even bigger. I mean, the thing is we have to be in awe of God. I mean, I think we don't have to be, but I think it's wise for us to be, because, you know, back to the every leaf is different, everything is different. Every hair on your leg, you know. Sorry.
Gee, thanks, Mom. My head is right here.
I was thinking about anything. I won't even say some of the other things. Because, like, okay, I'll say. No, I won't. But everything's different, right? Everything.
Oh, no.
All right.
There's no redemption from that.
It wasn't that bad. It was just every snot from our nose.
Oh.
But that's just packaging, too.
That's just packaging. You're digging yourself a deeper hole, Mom.
I am. So snowflakes are different. That's a little nicer.
Much better.
Water molecules.
In Arizona, what's that?
Right. So, but you think about it through all time. And so when it comes to God's intentionality and how much messed up, you know, how much imperfection that we do, and yet I really believe if people could, you know, if we pursued to understand really how much mercy and grace goes into every single day for us.
Mm-hmm.
His intention is so much more powerful than all of our misintentions, all the people's unintentional blunders, and all the intentional things that are evil that go in the face of God. His intention is so much bigger and stronger that I believe he doesn't sweat it. I believe he's very different than we think he is. The more we read Scripture, the more we don't look at it from our perspective.
But from God's perspective.
And we can't see that until He reveals.
Mm-hmm.
But He reveals for a reason.
Yeah.
And.
But He also, it says, knock and the door will be open, seek and you will find.
Right.
So it's something, it's being active, it's being intentional. You don't knock on someone's door by accident.
Right.
Like... No, and there's a lot, I think something I've noticed is everything, like I just started picking up the Bible and going from cover to cover again, just so I can get familiar with the chronology
uh-huh.
of Scripture, because I feel like there's a reason why Scripture is written in a certain order. It may not be like timeline chronological order, but there's a reason why it's ordered the way that it is. So I'm trying to kind of tap into, you know, that as well. But I think that because of how intentional God is, as believers, it's almost a necessity to be as intentional as we possibly can be.
Right.
Doing all things in excellence, walk worthy in a manner worthy of your calling. Walking is an action. Walking is something that you do, not get pushed in a baby stroller. Don't get pushed in a baby stroller.
Or teleported.
Don't get pulled in the wagon in a manner worthy of your calling. Like, that's not how it works. So... And that brings me to being a lot like, okay, so is our relationship with God more with what we do, with what we have to do with our lives?
So I heard a teaching on the sins are our motivation, our motives, right? So our sins are things that are we do that are missing the mark in our motives. And then the transgressions are our activity. The things that we do to actually step outside the boundaries of the kingdom of light, and we then transgress. Mm-hmm. And then the iniquities are those things that that follow or haunt, or however we want to say it, the curses that follow generations, things that we then have to repent from, that we didn't necessarily originate the sin, but mm-hmm. we obviously didn't refute it, we didn't renounce it, we didn't stop it. There's that. It's a heavier draw to go that direction. So the intentionality to, before, you know, I think, you know, we don't like, it's made a politically incorrect word, sin, right, repentance, but they become absolutely our liberators, our ability to repent from our sins, to the things where our motivations are wrong, for where our intentions are wrong. It's mm-hmm. it's liberating. And it's meant to sound so horrible, you know, because the people often, early in our walks, maybe we don't use it quite right, you know.
Yeah.
You need to repent from your sins. It's like, well, you know, and so that's how we hear it, right? And it sounds like impersonal.
Condescending.
Yeah, mean, rude, uncaring.
Yeah.
Yeah, condescending, condemning. But those are all things from the kingdom of darkness. But these words are actually words for the kingdom of light, and they want the darkness to be driven out. And darkness to be driven out must be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
We have to intentionally decide that we want the light on. And not only that, but we don't want to be deceived by something that's, you know, not really true. Like if Satan comes to us as an angel of light and we are not prepared to discern the difference, then all of a sudden... We can be lured away, and that's because our intention was not necessarily to set our heart and mind upon God in truth.
Yeah.
It might be we get fooled. The reason we get fooled is because there are certain things that we want and certain things that somebody presents to us. And that want tempts us away from the greater want or value of knowing Christ, right? Knowing God in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm starting to realize, like, before I was trying to stay away from certain words because they become just words that have meaning, though, to us as Christians in America in English. But the thing is like, His name, when He says, you know, we are to pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the reason why I think all three of them are listed is because the name, it's like their crest, right? It's really what they're saying is the fullness of who they are. It's,
mm-hmm.
That's the way. We're being immersed in the fullness of who He is, of the whole comprehensiveness beyond our understanding of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But all these things to understand take intention. So, do you have something to say? Intention?
Yeah, I think, well, so tying this back into, like, okay, so with business, right? That's an important place to be intentional.
Parenting.
Parenting, the church. Friendships. Church and friendships. So, how, I think something that I've really noticed is that as much as we think we are doing a lot and doing everything, we can't be comfortable with where we're at because we're always growing. So, for example, you should intentionally be never trying to be comfortable. That makes sense.
Well, the thing is that we want to be at rest. So the thing is,
okay, there's a difference between being at rest and being comfortable. Being at peace and being at rest doesn't mean that you're
complacent,
that you're apathetic, chilling on a yacht, on a cruise just because you can, and as you're escaping from everything for the reason.
Motives. It goes back to intention.
It goes back to intention and motives.
So someone could be on a cruise and relaxing and all the rest of it, but it's motive and intent. So the whole thing.
And scripture is the biggest checker of that. Scripture and your relationship with God and how you behave with that. Because, I mean, here's the thing: if you're not relating to bring it to God, that's a big red flag for your motives.
Right.
And you know, there's countless stories in the Bible about that. Jonah running away from Nineveh.
It wasn't quite a cruise ship for him.
He thought it was.
Yep.
But no, his intentions was he didn't want to go to Nineveh, so it ended up being a problem. It created issues.
Right. So we have to intentionally want our motives to be pure. And the purer, the better. And, you know, all these things are words and concepts that become important. So, we have people that are more philosophical or more psychological or more mathematical or however. I believe that, you know, obviously with us doing the show, we're a little bit more on the philosophical portion of it, and some people are more scientific, right? So, but the intentionality of being pure in our motives for what we're doing become important. And so at some level, people might need to be philosophical. I mean, I'm not sure if that's the best word, but I guess we need to really seek the Lord with all our heart, right? Love Him, and that's the purest motive, is to do everything out of love for God. And the thing is that I think that's the faith of a child. How do we love God when we reason and He doesn't do things the way we want to? I think that's possibly the biggest blockade for us loving God, because we see things that are imperfect around us and we don't understand them until we intentionally ask Him and we intentionally seek Him and intentionally want to know the scriptures.
And to intentionally go out of your way to learn the scriptures and to do the activities that will push you to learn and understand it more.
So I wasn't really interested in history, so reading the scriptures, a lot of it was difficult for me. It wasn't as difficult to read through the Gospels, maybe just really even just the Gospels at the beginning, because everything else seemed more to be telling, you know, stories or I mean, I guess the Gospels are too. But it was, even the Gospels were very much history. But Acts was a big thing, you know, that I wasn't necessarily interested in. And, you know, I got through to, like, I think maybe not even to Deuteronomy halfway through or something when I first read it way back when, wanting to read through the whole scriptures. And I wasn't into the historical part. I don't know if I really was into the philosophical, trying to understand all the scriptures. I just wanted to know who Jesus was and why the scriptures were so important. But so what do we say about being intentional for people who find this, like, I don't really want to be intentional about knowing God that much? Like, intentional about, because really when it boils down to it, we're talking about the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness and living in light. So, you know, it's like Ki Bono, right? Who benefits, right? There's another, you know, or the law term or whatever, philosophical still. So the things we have to look at is, why is it beneficial for anyone to be, why must we be intentional? What benefit is that? Who benefits? And how?
Well, I would just, to that, it'd be like, what do you benefit from the opposite? What do you benefit from being lazy? You benefit roles and love handles. And like, it's just that there's so much that you lose from, like, not being intentional. Like, you're letting things slip through the cracks, slip through your fingers that you could be retaining onto and be doing so much better with. And so it's interesting because, like, what I'm learning about entrepreneurship and being a business owner ties in so much to being with your walk with God, because you want to keep it as simple as possible and as efficient as possible without letting things fall through the cracks, because if it falls through the cracks, that allows other people to snatch what you were not stewarding well. Either would be by they take over your company, you lose money, and they get new clients based upon your business, like you're like leveraging off of you. There's so many different ways that if you're not intentional and cover everything, that you'll lose it.
That's really good point. And so what happens in a family if the parents aren't intentional?
Same thing. I mean,
and then later on, then the problems happen. The problems usually don't surface for a while, right? For a business even, or for a family. You know, there's just a lot of diligence and consistency and endurance and patience and every aspect of Scripture, right? Yeah. So anything anybody does requires the characters of Scripture to fulfill. But what about the intention behind it then? Because if people can do evil and they still need to be consistent and they have to do, you know, if they're selfish, really what we're talking about motives, if they're self-centered, that mm-hmm. is where people get trapped, right? If it becomes self-serving only or highly self-serving over God-serving, yeah. Because even if you're serving others, it's not the same thing. I mean, what's the purpose of the intention of the kingdom of heaven? You know, serving God in the kingdom of heaven, key bono, and then what's the purpose? Because you can have those business things, be all intentional that way and still miss the mark, right?
Yeah.
Where the motivation is self, or the motivation is I do this for my family, or my motivation is, you know, I do this to make this a better world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And some things seem very good, noble. So... And we can get fooled by that, even serving ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, some of that's needed.
Yeah.
Okay, but how do we filter all that? How do we make that all? How do we know if we're even understanding Scripture properly? How do we know God? Because we look at other people and we go, is that, could that really be?
You know, yeah, I do that. I've been doing that a lot lately, but a lot of that is because I'm wanting to hold what they're saying accountable. Scripture, and even Scripture, you have to put it to a mirror, because you know Scripture cross references and you know cross aligns a lot with topics, what they're trying to say, what they're approaching it as, you know, all of it's, and it goes back to that too, all of it's intentional,
right? So like you're going to go through the Scripture again and read it cover to cover, and I know God has, just like you said, something to say there, but when you're looking for me now, right now, when all of a sudden it came to light about the kingdom of heaven, and it's just this is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. The good news that we're supposed to share and disciple people in is really obeying all the commandments, and they're not burdensome, and they take on a whole new purpose when you understand that they all support us in this kingdom in which it's all about light and the motives being pure, and then forgiveness, like the Lord's Prayer says, right? Forgive us our sins as those who sin, we forgive those who sin against us. In this kingdom, it's all, everyone's all forgiven.
Yeah.
Everyone all walks in.
Making
mistakes. So the mistakes might look like darkness, but they're not.
Yeah.
So that's why it takes these eyes to see, right? He says you must be born again to see the kingdom.
And I think really the only... Oh, it's interesting because as I really think about it, like, you know, people... I think sin nature is something that, like, children don't naturally just want to be, I mean, there's some that start off kind of bratty, but there's a reason why it starts off that way. Nobody may understand at that particular moment, but there's something that's a choice involved at one point, at a particular point. I think that even the way people are now, like, I haven't met a lot of people that want to do quote-unquote good. It's just a matter of what they deem is good and where the priority of what falls in the ballpark of good, because good could to them could be all about themselves even when they're giving. And then there's good that there's other examples that I'm not thinking about right now, but there's like people can think they're doing good. So we can say, for example, people who do let's say we're inventing stuff that allows us to, let's just take this one for example. We have the ability to perform, like we have the technology now to perform surgeries on people. The heart behind why you would do that, like obviously you want to be able to cut out or operate on parts that you can't normally operate in normal circumstances, and so you want to heal some people at a deeper level. But what it's become as the go-to solution for everything without being intentional about preventing the problem before it happens, it becomes this way of, it becomes a norm when it's not, was its purpose was not intended to be a norm like that. Same thing with this earth. It was designed to be, you know, a paradise for God's creation, and sin has entered the world, and now we don't have that. Did I do a good parallel? Was that a good parallel?
So on the idea that we must be intentional, let's kind of wrap it up, because this is a short show today, and we're being very intentional that it's short.
Be intentional with our time.
And yours. We're
gonna cover the topic in half the time.
And it's very specific just to be intentional. And, yeah. But to make the difficult thing is to make sure our motives are right. Cause if we can't see whether they're right or wrong, I mean, I think the obvious ones we can tell, but then there's things that we can't tell whether or not we're really right or wrong. It takes some time to figure out that our intentions are not in the right place. And then, it depends on where we are. Like you being raised in the Lord, you're like, I'm going to expect more growth from you or more intentionality for what you do than I would for, you know, like when we had our foster kids. You know, I'm just looking for anything that they can make the right intention, right? Just to make it a little better, you know, to be more self-controlled, let alone to have their heart and mind stayed upon God, right? Yeah. But yet that miracle was able to happen quickly in Miguel, right? And then actually I think same with Trev, it just was more of a struggle because there was just so much more hurt and pain. I mean, for both of them, So then how much does the enemy so intentionally sow hurt and pain in everyone's life in order to get us away from knowing
how many times have people accepted? Because like, just as much as the parable of sowing seed was about a big portion of that parable was about the condition of the soil that the seed was planted in. And the same thing goes for what the devil does, is are we cultivating our soil to be accepting of what he wants, you know, or are we cultivating it to be something that's of God? And that's also all done with intention.
Correct.
So good. It's just like, I don't know, it's not that I don't want to have an opinion now, but it's more or less like, okay, I don't want to speak on an issue unless I'm having the right perspective, because I don't want my motive to be off as to why I'm choosing a certain opinion.
Right, that's really good.
Which is tough, because especially when you enter into controversial topics, you want to be the one that's right about it, because you want to push everyone's buttons and show them how they're wrong and be the guy that's right and wins the debate. But
I didn't know that about you. Oh yeah, I did.
Don't give me that. You know I've always been competitive about opinions, but no, it's like for me, I'm just like, well, what, you know, just praying about the right perspective, the wisdom of whether or not he talked about it, whether or not it's casting pearls before swine, because you don't want to give something as much as your motive is there to help that person if they're not, like, if they're just going to not, they're not going to treat it as a value. That's another decision that you have to make about being intentional.
Right.
Who are you going to give your time to that are actually going to listen and care about what you have to say without you wasting it?
Well, I'm going to end on this note because we're going to wrap it up real quickly here, and you can obviously finish. But the idea that God is so intentional that the revealing, I'm really glad you brought this point up, the revealing that he does to us is intentional based upon our willingness to listen, the condition of our soil, the condition of our heart and mind before him. So when it comes to scoffing, he says in Proverbs, do not correct a scoffer,
mm-hmm.
right? Why? Lest you get insults for yourself.
Yeah.
Correct a wise man and he will love you more, right? Otherwise, correct a scoffer
yeah.
and he will hate you, right?
Yep.
So he takes his own word seriously, and so he doesn't correct us if we're going to scoff. And he teaches us that, and we need to learn to have that type of a motive, because the motive when we're trying to convince somebody who doesn't want our information, if we're not trained to recognize that immediately, that they're not wanting to hear it,
yeah,
then
that's the thing too, is being able
blind about us or something self-centered about us.
And that's the thing too, is being able to learn in advance, being able to see that stuff. Because, like, I'm now getting to the point where I can say maybe two sentences and I can figure out where somebody's at. I want to get to the point where I can just see body language. Like, I'm pretty good at body language, but it'd be awesome to be like, okay, this person is going to be, like, is going to be receptive to what I say. I'm actually going to go on a little bit further. It's not about body language. It's about spiritual feeling, sensing where their spirit's at, where their soul's at. Because that's more important, because they in their brain they may not think they're ready, but in their soul, if it's something that they hunger and desire for, that's going to override where their brain's at, because that's what controls your brain, is where your soul is at.
Okay, so this is a really good way to wrap it up, because this will lead into our next show, because now I just lost my train. I lose that.
You weren't very intentional.
No, I was very intentional. I was like, whoop. Left me. It was really good too. Transition. So, say what you were saying again. Help me out.
No, just talking about I'm at a point where I can see if someone's intention is to hear me
okay.
within two sentences, but now my goal is to get to the point where I can just like be so in tune with the spiritual realm. I can just be like, okay, that person's going to be receptive to what I have to say.
Okay. You may or may not be able to do that. I mean, it's good because you get spirit of discernment's really important.
Yeah.
However, what we're going to go into is talking a little bit more about how the kingdom of heaven is set up, and how then there's actually courts of heaven is also scripture, but we kind of overlook it and we don't really see the organization and the intentionality of God putting all these scriptures in his word for us to operate out of.
Yeah.
So, but they're very intentional, and our people's testimonies are very important. So if someone is not going to be receptive, you can't just make that assumption, even if you read it.
Oh yeah. You can never just make an assumption.
Have to testify of where they're at, because that testimony, that's what we have. That's what we offer God every day is a testimony of whether we operate in faith, whether we love him, whether we trust him, you know, whether we want to do things his way, whether we desire him, you know,
mm-hmm.
hunger and thirst after his righteousness, want to walk in the light. We testify every day by our decisions, right? And so he wants that. He wants us to testify in the positive, right? He wants us to testify of walking in a manner worthy and in his kingdom. So I just wanted to say that, and then you can wrap it up and end it the way you'd
give
like.
Give it the outro.
Yeah.
I'm at outro point. Outro point. So is that your conclusion?
Yes.
Okay. So. But yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I think that. No, I'm gonna let it end on that note.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will see you next week on Your Battle to Win, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Right now, Arizona is in the same time slot as California. So, yeah.
Oregon and Washington.
Them too. But, yeah, guys, we'll see you.
Anyways, we love y'all.
Depends on what part of Idaho. But, yep, so we'll see you guys next week. Thank you guys for tuning in. This was Your Battle to Win.